fellowship going on. That's awesome. Online community, welcome. God bless you. May you feel the Lord's presence in your homes this morning. I want to read some scripture to kind of get our hearts settled this morning from Romans 5. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Marv has kind of influenced me in that area, and it's kind of growing on me a little bit. So hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. I love that. Where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice also when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. God's doing something there. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That's good news, church. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. I thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. God, I thank you for trials. We're told to rejoice. Count it all joy when those things happen, Lord, because you're doing something in us. And Lord, you allow with your providence what you could easily stop with your power. And you're so awesome and you're so holy. And we adore you for who you are, God. Would you just pour out your spirit on us during this service this morning, God? May we tangibly feel your presence this day. And Father, we just want to exalt the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to be together. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand. If you're able, let's worship the Lord together.
Good morning. It's good to see every one of you. We come to worship boldly by that undeserved privilege, by what Jesus Christ has done for us this morning. So I invite you to sing with all that you are, to pursue God with all of your heart this morning as we worship the Lion and the Lamb. Thank you. Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? My God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting all our battles. Will every knee will bow. This morning we are also reminded he's a personal God, that he knows the number of hairs on each and every one of your head here this morning. See, God cares about you. He clothes the lilies of the field and he feeds the birds of the air, and he takes care of even the sparrows. This morning we're going to sing one of my all-time favorite hymns, His Eyes on the Sparrow, and we're reminded of that truth, that he takes care of even the birds of the air. How much more precious are you to God than a sparrow? Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Well, I sing because I'm happy. Well, I sing because I'm free. For on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness, on
gates to Zion. When hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From cares He sets me free. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. For His eyes on
the joy of the Lord. Let's give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause. And you are you may be seated. Children, come forward this time for your children's time.
Happy to see everyone. Excellent. Well, this morning, I am going to talk about what is God like. And I want you to listen to a short story because I think it'll give you a little bit of a better idea. Once upon a time, there was a boy named Johnny. And Johnny liked to play outside, and he would come in late to dinner. And he came in late to dinner all the time. Well, one day, his dad and his mom decided that enough was enough. That was not going to happen anymore. And so they told him, Johnny, you need to be here for dinner on time. And if you are not here for dinner on time, when you are not here for dinner on time, your mom has to warm up your meal again. And so if you come in late again, you are going to be served bread for dinner. No butter. No peanut butter, no jelly, bread, and some water. Well, the next day came around, and Johnny went outside, and he played, and he came back late for dinner. His mom and his dad didn't say a single thing. And he came over to the table, and he saw his dad had a plate full of meat and vegetables, and his mom had a plate full of meat and vegetables, and he sat down, and they gave him a plate of bread. Oh, Johnny was crushed. He didn't think his parents would actually go through with it. Oh, no, and he was hungry. What was going on? So everyone's quiet at the table, and they wait a while. And after a while, Dad is looking over at Johnny, and he's thinking Johnny has learned his lesson. He realizes there's consequences to his actions. And he took his plate of meat and vegetables, and he gave it to Johnny. And he took Johnny's plate of bread and put it in front of himself. And he had that dinner. So this represents a little bit of just exactly what God is like. Let me read out of Psalms, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. That is from Psalms 50, verse 6. And so it's the fact that our God is a God of justice. There are consequences to our actions. When we sin, there are consequences. But the Bible also says in Psalms 116, 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. He loves us so much that even when we make mistakes and we do sin, he, just like the dad, takes his full plate of food, his full plate of plenty, and hands it to us after we ask for forgiveness, after our lesson is learned, and he takes our plate of bread. So that is very much what God is like. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we are sinners who deserve justice and are so thankful that you are a compassionate God who forgives us our sins. Please help us live a life that is in agreement with your will. In your holy Son's name I pray. Amen.
Well, welcome again. If you want to register your attendance with us through the app, that would be awesome. If you do not have our Wiley Methodist app, you can go to your app store, do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene, and you'll get a hit on that. As you register today, you'll notice that the date is not on there. It just says register here for Sunday morning worship, something like that. Go ahead and click on that, and we have a spreadsheet on the back end that actually timestamps registration. So go ahead and sign up if you'd like to do that. A couple things coming up that you're probably aware of. It's in your bulletin, but I want to highlight those anyway. The Men's Summit is this Friday evening and Saturday through 5 p.m. Men, there are still opportunities to sign up, so go to the website, the app, or you can scan the QR code on the insert, and you'll get a link that pops up. You can tap on that link and register. We'd love to have you be a part of that. Our Ash Wednesday service is March the 2nd. We'll start at 7 p.m. We'll end at 7:30 p.m. or thereabouts, and so we'll cut our community group time short. Our children's ministry and youth ministry times will also be shortened. We'll still have a meal from 5 to 6, but those group times are from 6 to 7. So join us for that Ash Wednesday service. And then Panama mission trips coming up. You see in the an insert in your bulletin that there's needs there. So look over those need items, and prayer is one thing they could need for sure, and just get involved on this end. I think that'll be a good trip for those folks going. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. You know, we have several church focuses during the month in regard to prayer. We pray for our community on the 10th day of the month, and there's opportunities for people to pray around the clock. We have 30-minute time slots, and we have 47 of the 48 of those filled. And that's just a day to cry out to the Lord for our community. And if you're not involved in that, please see me. I would love to get you connected. We also pray for pregnancy resources on the 20th of each month, which is today. That's going to be our prayer focus. And the email prayer team had received an email this morning at 8 that this is the day that we pray for them. And so we also pray for the persecuted church on the 30th of each month. So if you want to get involved in prayer, just reach out to me and we'll get you connected. But today we want to pray for pregnancy resources. They do an incredible work here in Abilene, Texas. And they have been able to, I guess in a sense, rescue little babies that mothers might have made a choice to where that child may not have existed. And so they do great work there, and we just want to lift them up to the Lord. I'm going to read through some prayer points, or actually pray through some prayer points that they've asked us to pray through. So I ask you to join me as we go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for pregnancy resources. I thank you for the work that they do. And Lord, I just thank you for counseling young ladies who are faced with an incredibly difficult decision to choose life for their child. And Lord, I know that there's been some that have not made that decision. Lord, I pray for grace and mercy to flow in those lives, Lord. Father, we lift up the board of directors and the executive staff. God, I pray for wisdom as they make decisions about the ministry, as they efficiently lead the agency with excellence. And Lord, I pray for the rest of the staff. Lord, I pray that they're able to complete their task with unconditional love. I pray that whoever walks through that door, they'll have the love of Jesus for that person. Lord, I pray for the clients. I pray for the women and families who've experienced, that they experience the love and grace of Jesus in their everyday lives. And Lord, I lift up the volunteers. I pray that they're blessed for the time they selfishly serve, selfishly share, and do the work that they do there. And Lord, I pray for the future of pregnancy resources, God. I pray, Father, that you increase the ministry and the impact of that organization, Lord. God, I pray for favor for them moving forward. Lord, I pray for material resources, God, just to flow into that place abundantly, the need for diapers and wipes and other additional baby items for the clients, Lord God. Would you just stir the hearts of the people in this community to make incredibly abundant provision for them, Lord. And I pray for the online presence of pregnancy resources. God, I just pray that there's something intriguing about their website, that young ladies and families that are trying to make difficult decisions, I pray that, God, I pray that they're drawn there. I pray as they do a Google search that it just pops up. Highlight that, God. Lord, and I pray that the pregnancy tests, the ultrasounds, and the counseling would directly influence decisions for these young ladies to choose life. Lord, I thank you for providing for them financially, God, but I just pray for more support just to pour in. God, I pray that they never have to withhold the paycheck. Lord, I pray that you expand the awareness of pregnancy resources services to allow for more ministry contact in our community. Lord, and I lift up the clients of those who have experienced miscarriage and infant loss, and I pray, God, for the men and women and families who've been affected by abortion. So, Lord, you know the needs there, and they're doing incredibly good work. Father, help them not to grow weary in doing good. And, Lord, if they impact only one life this month, God, it's worth what they do. So, Lord, just bless them. And, Father, I'm going to pray for those men and women who have chosen abortion as the best solution. Lord, I just pray for love and grace and mercy to flow. Jesus, you hung on a cross for all our decisions that may not have been good. And we thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Lord, as we continue to worship, Father, again, would you just allow us to experience your presence this morning? We just want to exalt you, Jesus. We just want to lift you high. And Father, we thank you for meeting with us as we meet together to seek you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll go ahead and receive our offering at this time. God bless.
This morning, I just want us to take a second to just to be in this moment and to understand that in this moment, you can choose to just kind of go through the motions and sit through another service, or you can really focus in this moment to come into the presence of the living God, to pursue the Holy Spirit, to go after the heart of God. I got good news this morning, right? It's by faith through grace that we are saved. And so everyone here this morning, can choose to enter into worship, but there's only one gate, and that gate is Jesus Christ. So you can't earn your way in by your own goodness. You got to go through Jesus. But the other flip side of that is you cannot be so bad that you cannot enter into worship this morning as well. Maybe you're trying to separate yourself from God, or maybe you feel guilt for things that you've done. But if you choose to receive the grace of Christ this morning, He is there to enter you into His presence. So everyone here this morning, I encourage you to press after the heart of our God. He's good and He's loving. He's a personal God, and He's waiting for you to enter into His presence this morning. Let's stand and sing with all we are to bring praise to our King. king of my heart. Be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good.
Good morning, church. Everybody doing good? Glad that you are with us this morning. Glad that you are worshiping with us. If you are our guest, we're especially glad that you're here and hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest with a blue stripe and would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I would love to meet you. I'll be down at this end of the foyer after the service. We'd love to meet you. And the bonus is there's a free gift, and there's also donuts and coffee if the kids hadn't eaten them all. So a couple of things I want to mention before we dive into the sermon. First of all, next week, next Sunday, is going to be different. Did anybody read my email this week? Yes. Men of Nehemiah will be here next week. And just a little bit about that ministry. It is a men's ministry that ministers to men coming out of addiction. And they offer the love of Christ. And did you know that Christ can change and transform us? Did you know that? And I think, so first of all, it's going to be different, okay? It's going to be, don't come thinking it's going to be our normal worship service, but I think it's going to be special. I really am excited about that. I've been around these men a little bit, and their leader, and I'm just excited about that. In a word of caution, parents, they will be dealing with some adult situations. Some of these men have come out of some really difficult things. They're not going to go into like graphic details of anything, but they will be talking about some history and in their testimony. Carlene has managed to create an extended area for our children during children's church up to fifth grade. You don't have to, your fifth grader or younger doesn't have to do that, but it's available to you. I'll let you parents make the decision. And if you want to talk to me more about that, certainly would welcome that. But so next week, put it on your calendar. I hope that you will be able to be here. One thing before we get into the passage today, many of you, this is kind of a secret thing, and not many people know this, but I have a side hobby that I do, and it usually intensifies every 4 years when the Olympics come around. I've been flying to China once or twice a week for a few weeks now, competing, and most of you don't know that. But go ahead and show that shot there. Three things from the early service I'll tell y'all. First of all, where's Brent? Go ahead and say it again.
You're Canadian?
Yeah. So I have dual citizenship. I actually compete for the Canadians. Well, that's first thing. And then after the worship service, I said to someone, I said, you know, curling is probably the only sport left that I could actually compete in. And then I was told that Terry said you couldn't do that because you got bad knees. Shame on you, Terry Wright. Busted. She didn't say that to me, but I came through the grapevine. But it is true. It is true. I thought curling was left to me, but even that is passed me by. Okay, enough of that. Psalms 34 is where we are today. Now, I want to set the stage for this. This is a Psalm of David, and most of us kind of grew up maybe with the you know, that David, when he was a boy, a teenager, young boy, he slayed Goliath, and he was a shepherd and all of this. And we get all of that, and then he was a man after God's own heart, and he ascended, and God appointed him king over Israel. But we don't. Sometimes we shift over that he was also an adulterer, and he had got this married woman pregnant, and then had her husband killed to cover up the crime. I mean, so David had his stuff. He had his stuff. But this passage. He's coming to us, and he's basically showing how Christ has responded to him. Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord, he says, at all times. Praise his name will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now listen to this. This is him. This is personal. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man, he's speaking of himself, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We may have come with all sorts of expectations, but we want to hear from you, Holy Spirit. We want you to speak. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of years ago, I was just kind of perusing through, reading some things, and I ran across this hotel in Belgium, that where you could rent for the night a goldfish. Anybody ever been to a hotel like that? You could literally rent for a night a goldfish. And what's interesting, you would think nobody would do there. I'm pretty sure that's the gold. No, it's not. It's just a goldfish. But the interesting thing is they rented a bunch of them. It wasn't like we offer this service just as kind of as a gag or whatever. They actually rented these goldfish for the night and did many of those. I'm continuing the sermon series, Hope When Life Hurts. You know, why do you think people would rent a goldfish for the night? Perhaps they just needed some relationship. They just needed somebody to connect with. Today's message is hope for loneliness and discouragement. Hope for loneliness and discouragement. So as we go through this series, I really felt very strongly that we preached a couple of years ago on hope, and I really felt like that we needed to go through some of that again, and because we just live in tough times, don't we? Just tough times. Had the service yesterday for Devin Coffey, and we know Devin took his own life. And I said something last week. We had a couple of other people that I knew, parents or friends of someone else, in the last 2 weeks. And then Wednesday night, as our community group was meeting, got a text from someone in our church who's a teacher, and one of their students' father committed suicide. So that's four that I'm kind of somewhat in my circle, four in about 2 weeks. Something's going on. Something in the spiritual realm is going on. And the first thing we need to understand as we talk about all of these issues is that these things are not from the Lord. Loneliness, discouragement, guilt, fear, shame, depression, those things are not from the Lord. Now, I want to be really clear. If you're just going to hear a couple of sentences here, hear this. I'm not a doctor, but I know that there are some issues, medical issues that can cause depression, and there's a need for medication to help with certain depression stuff. That we're not talking about the medical issues. We're going to set that aside. I'm talking about when we feel overwhelmed with the circumstances of life, that sort of loneliness, discouragement, depression, those sort of things when the circumstances of life come upon us. I was, after the early service, I was talking to someone, and they asked the question. I think they knew the answer, but they were asking, are these things sinful? Thoughts and struggles are not sinful. It's when we act out on those things. So if you are struggling with those things, that's not sin. But it is from the enemy. We need to understand that the enemy wants to, Jesus' words, not mine, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, yeah, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I want to give you life. I want to give you life, abundant life, full life. And so we have these two that are coming at us and have different intentions toward us. Steal, kill, and destroy our life. And we need to understand that many times these are spiritual battles. So how do we overcome these things that are when the difficulties of life overwhelm us? First is, we can overcome loneliness and discouragement if we intentionally focus on eternal things. Intentionally focus on eternal things. I plucked a few scriptures for the, God's Word is full of scriptures that address this, but let me just read a couple. And it's there in your handout. You can have those and follow me if you'd like. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ. And so he's speaking to Christians, us. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, this is what I'm talking about, and this is pastoral confession time. Y'all ready? Man, life can, I can struggle with the overwhelming stuff, this stuff that's coming at us. And I said this in the early service, but that's why I quit watching the news a year and a half ago. I do keep up with what's going on in the world, but it's not by consuming the cable news where they talk about good news doesn't make it because we don't want to encourage anybody. It's just the bad stuff, and they repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over, and it can begin to take over our minds and our hearts. And I want you to know that we have to protect our heart and our mind from these things because they can weigh on us. Jesus said, in Matthew, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So when the things we're focused on, that's the things that begin to consume us. It can be negative things. It can be godly things. When we begin to focus on eternal things. Now, Paul says it in 2 Corinthians this way. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so once again, now sometimes we don't feel like these are light and momentary troubles, do we? Sometimes it's all consuming. We can just get consumed with it. And not just the stuff that's out there, but maybe stuff that's right in our home, right in our family, right in our relationships, at the workplace, whatever. But God is basically saying, keep your eyes fixed on me. Keep your eyes fixed on me, which leads me to my second point. We can overcome loneliness and discouragement if we intentionally press into relationship with God. Press into relationship with God. Notice in my third point, it's going to start the same way. Intentionally, to intentionally do these things, where it's something that we make a plan to do these things. So, pressing into the relationship with God. Psalms 34 that we just read today. Listen to what David says. I sought the Lord and he answered me. Now he could have very easily have gotten totally off track for the rest of his life with the stuff that went on. He had his stuff, not just the adultery and the murder, but I mean he had sons trying to kill him, chasing him, and he's running and hiding from his family. I mean he's got stuff. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I love that passage, that last verse. He's close to the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted, if you're lonely, if you're discouraged, he's close to you. He draws near to you. James 4, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Yesterday, Lynn Lahan gave a fine devotional to the men at the men's breakfast, and he talked about how when we're feeling distant from God, God hasn't gone anywhere. God's there. I mean, he's with you. In fact, he draws near to us when we draw near to him. But when we are not feeling that, it's we have stepped away. We have strayed away. We have let our minds begin to focus on things in this world. And there's lots of things in this world that can draw us away from the Lord. Jesus, again, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And one of my favorite passages, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Man, I don't know about y'all, and especially when that, you know, just like doing that funeral service yesterday, as I told them, it's like we spend our life pursuing stuff, pursuing money and riches and relationship, and this person likes me, this person doesn't like me, and I want to build this career, and I want to have all this people praising me, how great and wonderful we are. We spend our whole life pursuing those things, and when it comes to the end of this life, the only thing that matters is Jesus. That's it. That's all we got. We leave all the rest of that stuff behind. But Jesus is eternal. And his love for us is eternal. And Jesus says, come, are you weary? Are you burdened? I'm offering you rest. Rest for your soul, he says. You want to overcome loneliness and discouragement? Press in to relationship with God. Well, I guess a natural question is, how do I do that? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is ask. Ask. And again, Lynn mentioned that yesterday. It's like he was crying out to the Lord at a certain time of his life when he didn't feel close. He's like, Lord, I want to feel close. Cry out to God. He loves that. He loves us to cry out, to press into him, to draw near to him. And then just be in the Word. Spend some time alone in prayer. I'm just, again, pastoral confession time. I am not a prayer warrior. Thank God I have a wife and a mama who are, and I love that. I pray, but I'm not a prayer warrior. I mean, some people, they can just sit and they can pray for hours on end. You know, to me, it's like, boom, 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 boom. God, here's all I got to talk about. Let's talk. Here we go. But sometimes, just sit, and I'm working on this in my own life, just sit and just say, Lord, and I do this sometimes when I drive, if I'm driving to Lubbock or to Dallas or something, and I've got some time, and I say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening. Tell me what you want to tell me. Just that's prayer. You don't have to always have the bullet points that you need to go over with the Lord. Just be with him. Just hang out with him. And press, that's part of the pressing into him. And the other thing I would say is fellowship with one another. I said this a couple of weeks ago. If you're watching online, God bless you. We love you. And this is not to shame you. But as soon as you feel safe, come back and be with us. We need one another. I don't know about y'all. I need you. I don't know if you need me, but I need you. And that's part of pressing into God. It's especially me being an extrovert, it's like I feel really close to God when I'm around other people that are pressing into him. Our Monday prayer time, Billy, we didn't talk about that this week. We will be, but we circle up. There's usually about, I don't know, 8 or 10 of us circle up right here. I'd love that to be 50 or 100 of us, but there's 8 or 10 of us, and we circle up right here, and our hearts are united, and we're praying for our city and our nation and our church and for one another and all this stuff. And I feel extremely close to the Lord when we're doing that, just because our hearts are knit together. Our hearts are united in prayer for one another. So I invite you to come be a part of that. Okay, third way. we can overcome loneliness and discouragement if we intentionally seek to serve others. Now, again, I'm setting aside where there's medical, chemical type things that cause some depression and different things like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when life overwhelms us and when we struggle. I believe in my own experience, for me, when I start feeling those things, it's because I have my eyes right here on Jeff. I'm focused on Jeff. And there's something about shifting that and begin to love God and to love people. It's almost like we should have a purpose statement for our church that's something like that. We'll work on that. But when we begin to shift our eyes off of ourselves and we begin to put it on God and what He would have us to do and who He would have us to love on, something shifts. I was telling a story. I hadn't even planned on telling it but in the early service, but it kind of came out, so I'll tell you guys. I don't know. It's been a while since Lake Stanford, 15 years maybe, Billy, something like that. Lake Stanford flooded. And it's so cool because this family, there was a family there that they had just bought this house and the man had cancer and had just come out of cancer surgery. And when you walk, their house was flooded. They had just bought this house on the lake. And when you walked up to the house, you could walk into their living room and you could see about, I'm guessing, 4 to 6 inches from the top of the ceiling, a water line on the sheetrock. That's how much this house flooded. I mean, it was like the whole lake went through their house. And they didn't. He had cancer. They didn't have the money to do this. And we piled in van. I think we had 2 or 3 vans. And we drove down there and we told them we were coming and we're gonna do all this stuff. And we ended up doing it for several weeks. But people just start piling out of this van. And you could just see something shifted in them when they saw these people that there to love on them in behalf of Christ. And then there were so many of us that was working on this house, we'd kind of running out of room. And so Billy and I got the assignment. There was another family that had a mobile home that had flooded, and the floor had rotten the floor. And they were stepping through the floor. So we showed up to replace the floor on this mobile home. And when we walked in, there was a man and his wife. And this lady, I mean, she just looked like the circumstances of life were just, she was just angry. I mean, she was not a happy camper. And we, you know, it was one of those you could cut the tension with a knife. We just walked in and was like, hey, we're here to replace your floor. Is that okay? And it was just, it was brutal. Well, so we started working, and Billy and I'm sure Billy was doing most of the harassing of me, but we start, as we're working and being joyful and working, we start harassing each other. It's like, I thought you measured that. No, I thought you measured that. Well, man, how come that ain't fitting, man? So we're going at each other pretty much all day like that. And you could see this lady was watching us, and we were serving her with joy, and you could see as the day progressed, her mood was lightening. And when we got through, we circled up and had a prayer with them, and she was a different lady. You could tell that the Lord had pumped some joy into her. Intentionally seeking to serve others. I'll tell you, I remember that from 15 years ago, not because of the wonderful thing we did, but because of the blessing it was to serve somebody for Jesus. And how that blesses us when we take our eyes off of ourselves and begin to love on other people, it just can transform us. It can lift things that are going on in our world. Jesus, you know, he's sitting around this table and he's sitting around these disciples that one has betrayed him, the other one will deny even knowing him, and the others will scatter and desert him. And he's sitting around and he's preparing to have the Last Supper with them. He's preparing to go to the cross for them. And what does he do? He gets up and becomes their servant and he washes their feet. Man. And then what does he say when he finishes? He says, I've set you an example. you should do as I've done for you. And it's easy to love people that love us back, and I'm preaching myself here. It's easy to love people that love us back, but Jesus is, he's washing, hey, did you know he washed Judas's feet? And right after he said, oh, by the way, you're gonna betray me. He says, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And that's it. If the circumstances of life are weighing down on us, if we love on behalf of Jesus, it shifts something in the spiritual realm. There is a video I ran across also a couple years ago. This video kind of speaks for itself, so I'll just let you watch this video. It's in New York City on the subway. God, church, God is calling us to seek Him and His kingdom and to humbly love others on His behalf. And I believe with all my heart that is how, at least, how we begin to overcome loneliness and discouragement, the hope that we have in Christ, and we have that hope to share with a hurting world. If you'll pray with me. Father, we are grateful and humbled that you sent Jesus, and Jesus, that you have shown us. You've shown us how to love. You weren't just a teacher, but you were an example. You demonstrated your love for us. Outside of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we just confess that we don't know how. We're just not very good at it. So, Holy Spirit, equip us. And I pray for any that are here this morning that are feeling lonely or discouraged, that the love of Christ would permeate, would just burst forth inside of them. May we be agents of your peace, agents of your love and your kingdom. Help us, oh God, to focus on eternal things, to press into you and to serve and love others. Show us how. Again, Lord, I pray for those that are struggling, that have lost that hope that only comes through you. Bless them, Lord. Draw near to them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able as we close, and just please don't leave this place. If you don't know that Jesus that we're talking about, if you don't know his love for you, his hope that he has, don't leave this place without talking to me about that.
Well, with my soul.
easier for me to not believe. Even when my eyes can't see.
Again, don't leave this place if you don't know that Jesus. I'd love to visit with you about that. And for our guests, I will be a reminder, I will be out here. Would love to meet you. The Lord, church, draws near to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. What a wonderful God we have that draws near to us and doesn't want our spirits to be crushed. Go and tell someone. That's good news, church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.